The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Five cars nose to tail heading down into turn number one. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. Three laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number one. They start to fan out. Coming off a two. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn four. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number one. They fan out. Two by two. Three wide. Coming off the turn number two. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around four, there's still two by two. Three cars drop back. It's one car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Oh, boy. Good Monday night to you. What is that? What are you doing over there? Already pressing buttons. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing. Jack over there with the butter fingers. Get your hands off them buttons.
And you guys didn't even say anything about the damn racing flags all over.
I noticed that, and I went, what was wrong with Jack?
You'd think he was a racer or something, wouldn't you?
It's the finish line.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Good Monday night. That's a first for me since we have moved the show to Monday night for Inside Florida Racing. Want to say thank you to a lot of the people that sent me some emails asking about my son, just letting everybody know he is all right. He's got a slight immune deficiency problem. We're going to see what we can do and get that sorted out. And once again, thanks for all the emails and stuff. I do appreciate that. Yeah. Here in the Karnak Studios, in the Short Track America Studios. What?
Short Track America has been put into the closet about a month ago.
Oh.
And it's one of those things that I keep doing, too. It's been put into the closet. Trust me, we don't want to open it.
What's
going on in there?
And the reason for that is very simple. It's because we are doing such a diverse number of shows, like drag racing shows, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing it. We're getting ready to do a rock. What do you call it? The rock climbing? This is huge out west. This is big. We're talking
$60,000 yes.
Race car machines to climb rock up the sides of mountains.
You got
big sponsor.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen those things. They run right up the side of a wall or up the side of a rock hill.
Yeah. What's it called?
Not
a rocket,
slow. Remember
a rocket ship?
Slow?
Yeah, one of our clients is that's one of their businesses. So, anyway, we're doing all these various things. So it's Real Racing USA. Short Track America has been put in the closet.
Real Racing USA Studios. Is that better?
And we are inside Florida Racing. In case you forgot that,
are.
Too.
Sitting to my left, that is going to be the very beautiful Miss Carol Wicks.
Thank you.
How you doing, Carol?
And to my right is the very beautiful Rob Elting.
Oh, thank you.
Bonehead.
Bonehead.
It's always nice to be called beautiful.
Carol's the voice of Tony Stewart, correct? We do have that
Don't
established.
Don't start.
The voice of Tony Stewart?
Yes. That's what I understand. Is that right?
So what's Smoke got to say?
Smoke ain't got nothing to say. I ran out of
From what I understand,
talent.
Smoke said nothing but bad things.
He cussed and stomped and pounded and probably threw things and probably was looking for cameras to break. And he gets mad, man. I'm telling you.
More people are talking about him than they are Jamie McMurray, though.
Hey, Jack, you know you don't like Nasty Car, but it is inside Florida Racing and Daytona's
in Florida.
It was in Florida.
And Jamie Mack.
I watched
Jamie
it
Matt
in
Murray.
Florida. I was at Daytona, Florida.
Oh, I couldn't. I was locked in my tower. It's all right. I had the internet next to me. I was getting the updates.
How did the dual night of racing at Charlotte County Speedway go this weekend? Friday
it went pretty darn good. Had a couple really good backbone classes racing on Friday night. Had the Road Warriors out there. A bunch of guys came down from DeSoto. Big show there. And the Thunder Trucks put on a heck of a show, too. Had the USA Sprints there. And then Saturday night had a great big huge race with the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. We made it not even one lap, and they took them three wide down into turn number one, and the person coming in with the rotten end of the stick was Jeff Lacey, ended up getting into the turn two wall, ended up breaking a vertebrae in his neck. He had to be airlifted out of there. Spoke with Gary LaPlante from the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks and Jeff's brother Troy on Sunday. And Jeff is home now. He has two neck braces.
I spoke to Jeff in person today. He's feeling good. He said that next time he flies, he wants it to be under different circumstances. But he is looking forward to get back in the race again. He will be able to race again. He's got to wear a neck brace.
You know, Jeff, when you fly that way, you don't get frequent flyer miles. It just all adds up then.
Well, that was a hard way into the wall there for sure. But did I see that the 21 truck ran in that race with them?
Not only did Randy Kyle run with him, he did a pretty decent job early on, ended up falling back. But the guy that really needed to be called was the number 5 truck of Jeff Thurman.
Right.
Thurman was having a ball. I tell you what, he was all in his glory that night. He was all in his glory Saturday night because he went out there, raced that, got out of the truck, was just howling about it. You could hear him. You could hear him when he went past the start finish line every lap, just howling. It was crazy.
Carol, do you know Jeff Thurman personally?
No, I don't.
He is one guy that I tell you, you never know who's driving the 5 truck. It's either Bill or it's Jeff. And Jeff owns the truck, but there is not a guy out there that has as good a time out in a vehicle as he seems like that he does sometimes. Because, like he says, you can hear him when he goes by. When he ran the figure eight boat races. You could hear him every time he came
around.
You
could hear him screaming, yelling, hooting, howling, yee-hawing. You could hear him from the tower yee-hawing all the way down into turn 4 after he came through the X. He is a nut on the track. He is a nut.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you. How did he end up doing in that race?
He ended up getting like 5th or 6th. So, he did real good. He ran right up top the whole time. I mean, you know, he was giving them fits, too. So, it was a really, really good show. It was a lot of fun Friday night, Saturday night.
How'd Terry Price do?
I wasn't there. I was at Daytona watching Tony.
Terry had some problems.
What I heard.
Yeah.
Because you weren't there watching.
He was still fighting an electrical problem and everything else with the car. And then
was a lot of emotion, too, because we lost Pop Sweet. And Pop and those guys are really, really close.
Yep.
It was a heartbreaking weekend for a lot of people at Charlotte County.
But Terry did come back at the end of the night and won the figure eight enduro.
And dedicated it to Pop.
Yes, he did.
Figure eight race came out okay. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got crashed up too bad.
No. It was a lot of fun. Thurman was out there in that one hooping and hollering again.
With his truck?
With his truck. He was aiming for him. He was aiming for Terry. He was aiming for a few of the guys out there. It was crazy. But got a lot of stuff going on tonight inside Florida Racing. Got a pretty interesting lineup
here,
Carol.
One of my favorites, Dickie Anderson.
King Dick.
A lot of us growing up watching that.
Jeff Turkett.
I'm going to say it, that old man race.
Hey, man, there's no doubt. He's been around racing for as long as some of us have been around.
Yep. Jeff,
just be kind. Be kind. He'll tell you he ain't scared of nothing. We have Jeff Turkett with us, who won at DeSoto Super Speedway this weekend. Casey Smith and David Brown, who is the promoter for. Casey Smith is an outlaw late model driver.
Outlaw late model.
And you'll find out in a few minutes when we talk to him.
What's an outlaw late model?
I don't know, but I know what an outlaw modified is. Those are those bathtubs that used to have the wings on top. Are these like late models with wings on top?
This is another Casey Smith. I thought I had called one that I had seen several years ago at DeSoto. Uh-huh. I got the wrong Casey Smith, but after I talked to him for a while, I found the right one.
Well,
so
cool.
We're going to have fun with him.
Cool. Good deal.
And we got David Brown, who's the promoter of North Florida Speedway, on.
Ah,
and maybe some callers in or caller ins or
actually,
how do you say that?
Some
callers in. We'll have some people calling
inside
us.
Inside Florida Racians.
Some listeners that got enough cojones to call.
Inside Florida Racians. There we go.
Yes, we'd love you to call in and ask Dickie some questions. We know you're going to get some honest answers.
I actually got a lot of other little things I want to talk about a little bit later on. I'll get to them because right now we're trying to get a hold of Dickie himself. Because I tell you what, we got to set some time aside to talk to Dickie Anderson because he has been around racing probably since I was in diapers. I mean, you know, he
how old are you?
Well, we can't help it if you weren't potty trained till you were 10.
Oh, dude, you had to ask, didn't you? I'm going to be 34 tomorrow.
Oh, 34. Perish the thought.
Well,
I had a midlife crisis at 30.
I'm 41. I remember going to races at 11 and 12 years old and watching Dickie race against Fletcher. And even Jimmy Cope. You know, Jimmy Cope was racing when he was a kid. And they would race all the different series, but they'd always end up at Sunshine. And let me tell you, Jimmy Cope and Dave Fletcher used to crash their car. I think the promoters used to pay them extra to crash the car because things were different back then. Things were a lot different back then. Yeah. You know, we always talk about, like, you know, you being at Charlotte with having problems with people and fighting and everything. I think back in the day, and Dickie can probably tell us that, you know, you had to fight a little bit to win the race.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you ask him? We have him on the line now. Go for it.
Dick Anderson, this is your old buddy Bonehead, Rob Elting, used to race with you on the road. You remember?
We must not have a good connection here.
That's what they all say when I ask them if they remember me.
Hi, Dickie. It's Carol. How are you, hon?
Hi, Carol. I can just barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll talk louder. How's that?
Okay.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
Thank you very much.
You know, you, Dickie, this is Jason. It's really, I've never got the chance to speak to you, but I do have to say it's been an honor over the years sitting in grandstands watching you race. I mean, all over the place. I pretty much got out to DeSoto and Charlotte County being a kid and everything watching your race, and it was just a hoot seeing you show up and kick everybody's butt. It was a blast.
That's quite a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, Dick, can you hear me now?
Barely. You're going to have to speak real loud.
Well, you know, what it is we've got a guy, Jack, here that's messing with all the buttons. He can't get the buttons worked out. This is Rob Elting, driver of the 27 late model, old Bonehead. Remember Bonehead?
Oh, yeah.
You can't forget Bonehead. We used to have some good racing days back at Citrus.
And where you been?
Well, I'm back in it now. I'll be at the races at Charlotte County this weekend. I'll be running my late model in the super late model race. But I'm back in my car. I had to take a little hiatus with a divorce and some stuff like that, and had to pay for my car and my truck again. You know how that can be every now and then. But
oh God, do we have any tissues in this room? I think we have a whiner aboard.
But you know,
that's good news hearing that you're coming back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm racing. I'm having a good time. I'm fixing to have a son in October, so I'm having a good time with that. I'm going through a midlife crisis, if you will, at 40, and still enjoying racing. And when they said you were going to be on tonight, I said, I'm going to come back and do some hosting of the show with them a little bit. You know, it's great to hear from you. I haven't talked to you since we raced at Citrus at one of them races not long ago. Tell the folks a little bit about the things that you're doing today. You know, we were talking a little bit about how you are a teacher. Everywhere you've gone, you've taught guys like me that you really didn't even know, but you met on the racetrack or at the racetrack. If we ask you questions and we're willing to listen, you were always a teacher. Tell me about some of the guys that you've taught along the way that have really become good racers.
Yeah. Well, I had some good mentors myself, and people like Ed Howe and a guy named Whip Mulligan, and they were so helpful in helping my career along and helping me win races. So it's only fair that I pass it on, you know. And right now I'm helping a lot of young kids coming up. Gosh, I just can't remember them all right off the top of my head. But to be honest, I enjoyed almost as much as racing. But, you know, I've still got the competitive juices flowing every now and then, so sometimes I want to win a little bit too bad. But other than that, I really enjoy what I'm doing. And everybody's always telling me, boy, I bet you wish you were in that thing. And no, I really don't, because I've got a 92 sitting here. If I wished I was in it, I would be in it, you know. But I thoroughly enjoy going racing with these kids and helping them as long as they listen, you know, and as long as they're giving it 100%, wanting to learn. It's a real pleasure for me to have the opportunity to do that and make a living at it at the same time. So,
who was your most successful student?
And but you never know, you know. Stranger things have happened, but you know, if I get back in shape here, which I doubt will ever happen, but if I do, you might can see me sneak back in. But right now I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I've helped I'm helping David Wilson this year and last year, and he's really come a long way in a short period of time. And I helped David Pullen the year before, and it just through the years I've helped dozens and dozens of young drivers, and it's been a pleasure to do it.
Well, you certainly did help your son, didn't you?
He didn't need a whole lot of help, but I feel like he's picked right up where I've left off, you know.
When did you start working with Wayne as a racer?
Wayne didn't start racing until he was 18.
Wow.
But he started helping me in the garage at 12, and he was my crew chief on the road at 14 when we were all pro racing. So at 14, the reason he didn't start till 18, I felt like he should learn what to do before he started racing, and I still believe in that. But by the time he started racing at 18, he didn't need much help. He already knew what to do.
Sounds like his boy's going there, too.
He's a crew chief, and he's, you know, just as well, he's a fantastic racer now.
No doubt about that, and I guess his boy's going to follow in his footsteps.
You know, he picked up right where I left off. He's the man speed when he pulls in the pits.
Oh, yeah.
How's it feel, Dickie? Wayne's following in your footsteps, and now Wayne's son, your grandson's going to be following in his footsteps. I mean, how does that make you feel? You know, I mean, you've started this generation of racing through your family.
Makes me feel old.
You are.
Because I look at.
Uh-oh, we didn't say that. Rob said it.
Like looking at Wayne, it seems like it was only 2 or 3 years ago I was looking at Wayne at that age, you know.
Yeah, it's gotta bring a sparkle to your eyes. I mean, seeing your son and your grandson coming up through the ranks and just taking off on you know, and just really kicking butt on just the tracks here in Florida and everywhere else.
Oh, it does. I'm very proud of Wayne, and like I say, he deserves most of the credit himself. Not that I didn't help him, but all I had to do was get him started, and he took the ball and ran with it from there.
And boy, did he run.
Yeah.
You know, I never got to see Wayne run until he started running the Craftsman Truck Series there for a little while. And then that kind of deal kind of fell through. And I've just in the past year or so finally got to see him run the Super Lights and everything else. And there's, you know, it's almost kind of like watching you on the track race. I mean, he's taken a lot from what you've done over the years and, you know, put it towards what he does on the track, too.
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, I think he's the best driver in the state for sure. But, you know, I feel like he's got him beat when he pulls in if nothing happens. But I've got a good little driver in Jeff Chiquette driving my car whenever I have the chance. And then you've got Jeff Schofield. So you've got some really talented drivers in the state, but anytime Wayne's there, they're going to have their hands full.
Absolutely. Well, when you were racing and you showed up at the track, you were the one that everybody was looking at and going, man, we got our hands full now. I mean, I can remember sitting at DeSoto and you rolling in with that 92, man, and you could tell it was you firing up. I mean, your car always had that distinct sound, and it was totally different than everybody else. I mean, just sitting in the stands, me and my dad would be like, man, that thing's a ground pounder. He's ready to go. And it was like every time you pulled on the track, it was like we knew you were the one to watch.
That was that Mopar power that he used to have back there. That's what made things different for Dick back then. I remember when I'd started racing back in probably 98, 99. Dick, you had all that Dodge power, man. You had it by the cojones, as I like to say.
What's
back
up, Tony?
in the Buddy Foster days.
Yeah, but, you know, I raced for 40 years, and I only ran Dodges for 3 of those 40. So, and to be honest, everybody thought it was the Dodge power, but it was really the handling of the cars. I didn't think the Dodge engines ran any better than the Chevrolets, and they were heavier, so
they sounded good though.
The Dodge engine really helped at all. If anything, I felt like it was a hindrance, but it made us awful proud to have the only Dodge out there and to do so well.
Yeah, and to do well with it, that was the thing, you know.
Could have fooled me.
Yeah, it was. You know, today when you see a Dodge car out there, he's got a Chevrolet motor in it, so at least you guys came out there with that Dodge and
yeah,
presented that Dodge motor out there and ran really well with it. You were talking about maybe what's it going to take? What's it going to take for old Bonehead to get you back out here to race with me at Charlotte County Speedway?
You figure out a way for me to lose 30 or 40 pounds, and then I'll go back for you.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna talk to Jenny Craig, or I'm gonna talk to one of them. I'm gonna get you on the program. Maybe I'll go on it with you. We'll both lose 30.
Hey, Dickie, he ain't got no room to talk.
I could use to lose 30. I'm about 230, so I could use to be 200 would be fine.
One of the biggest reasons that I really quit racing when I had the opportunity, and it doesn't make me really want to rush back into it, was Every time I went to the racetrack, I was expected to win, and that puts so much pressure on you, it takes all of the fun out of it. If I went back to racing right now, I'm sure it'd take me a little while to get in the groove, but with everybody expecting you to win all the time, it takes all the fun out of it.
Well, Dick, isn't that true for some of these younger guys, too? Like Wayne, I'm sure, has experienced that, and don't you think maybe Jeff and some of these other guys, these young kids, they've experienced that, too?
I don't know. I know Wayne's got to the point where he's won enough now to where now it's kind of on him. If he doesn't win, everybody's going, what happened? You know, he could go out and run the race of his life and run second. And instead of everybody patting him on the back, it's like, hey, what happened? You know, how come you didn't win, you know? And the last 5 or 6 years I raced, I got so tired of that. You know, I'd go out and put out a heck of an effort, but it's like if I didn't win, it didn't count, you know?
Yeah, I tell you what, that's kind of humbling right there. You made me kind of look at it in a different light, because when Wayne came down to Charlotte to race down here, I was in that mindset going, man, he's here, he's the one to beat, he's going to win, he's got the machine out there to do all the work, you know. And when he ended up the first time down here, I guess he had some motor problems, and the second time he ran out of time. And that kind of dawned on me that you just said that, and I can understand how that would take away from...
I'm even guilty of it. I'm so used to him winning now. This past weekend, you know, he went to Charlotte County. I called him Sunday, and he goes, well, I ran third. And I go, well, what happened?
You sound like my dad, man.
That irritated me, you know. People get used to you winning, and they don't realize, it really kind of hits a sore spot when they say that to you. You know, you think, damn, I started dead last, and... passed 20-some race cars and drove a great race. What does everybody say? Everybody says, what happened?
Well, no matter whether first, second, or third, when they mention the Anderson name, people come to watch.
Well, Dick, I was there that night. He came in third, but he was the show.
Yeah.
And anybody that was there knows
right.
He was the show. Other than
hey, I passed.
Them having to scrape Rob off the wall a few times, no, and he was the show.
I wasn't on the wall at all. I didn't get on the wall at all. And, Dick, you'll be proud. I got put to the rear twice for turning somebody around, but that's not good. But I finished seventh. I came back. And even Wayne told me afterwards that he had a hard time getting around me when I was running good at the beginning. But, you know, that's what's good about being a guy like Bonehead. See, it's easy for me just to go and have a good time. I don't have to be a winner. My dad gives me a hard time every race, no matter where I finish. He does that same thing. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have, as a matter of fact, one of your favorite boys there, Jeff Chiquette's going to be on tonight. And I understand he's going to be in the ASA race this weekend, too. Must be pretty proud of him.
I tell you what, I'm tickled to death with the deal I've got with my Black 92. Whenever we're not ASA racing or I'm not, I don't have a commitment, Jeff drives my Black 92, and it's just been a real good marriage. I mean, we've ran four times and set fast time all four times and won three of them, ran second in the other one, and put one little scratch on the car. So I'm tickled to death with Jeff. I feel like other than my son, he's a perfect person to have in the car.
Hey, Dick, we're going to take a very short break here. We have to help take care of our sponsors. I'll tell you what, if you got maybe want to grab a quick smoke or a cold one or whatever, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half. We want to come back and talk to you about, get your opinions and your ideas on how things are going in the world of racing and just get your opinions on how things go these days. How's that?
No problem.
All right, we'll be right
back.
See
you in a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Hang on, guys.
Go ahead. Press your buttons. This is Short Track. This is Inside Florida Racing.
Do you not know where you are?
No, I don't know where I'm at tonight. Oh, my God.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think? Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton. Andrews Dodd.
Good Monday evening to you. It's Inside Florida Racing. I am Racing Jason Beckner. Right to my left, the very beautiful Miss Carol Wicks. And to my right, the very boneheadedness, Rob. Bonehead.
The very beautiful bonehead.
That is. But more importantly, disrespect. Blatant disrespect.
Live on the line where this is Mr. Dick Anderson.
Yeah, right. we don't want to be wasting his time with your mouth now. Quiet down, boys.
That's hey, okay. Dickie, I got plenty of time.
Question, Mr. Anderson.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about the young kids coming up in racing today? I'm talking about like 12-year-olds in super late model cars and more often than not, money talks and you know what walks.
Well, I've got mixed emotions, really. I love to see these young kids have something like that to get involved in. And anymore, I just can't believe your top class of cars, like super late models or whatever, they're just getting younger and younger and younger. But down the negative part I see is that they're getting so young that they don't understand anything about the race car, you know, and that they don't work on the race cars themselves and all. So it's, like I say, I have mixed emotions. I think it's great that they can do it at that young of an age. It gives them such a good shot to move on up. But at the same time, it's becoming such a money sport. When I was doing most of my racing, you did all the work on your own car you couldn't just go and buy speed. Nowadays, you can just go and buy speed, and there's nothing wrong with that because if one person's doing it, you got to do it, you know. So, but the only negative part I have to it is you know, the kids get up and become seasoned race car drivers, and yet they don't know how to work on their own car. So if they run out of money, then they're really in trouble, you know.
You know, lately racing, short track racing itself has been getting kind of kick to the wayside with the bigger side of racing. You got your NASCAR, your Indy, and stuff like that. You know, it seems like maybe we're starting to get on that uphill climb again where the fans are starting to come back to the short track side of it. Over the years, I mean, you've been doing the short track racing thing for years. What has been the biggest change, the negative change to short track racing, do you think that's really made everything go downhill with it?
Well, everything's become such a, in other words, how can I say it? NASCAR just pulls all the strings. The racer has no say so in anything anymore. They're trying to make all the cars identical. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. All you know, It's like a bunch of robots out there, and everything's just programmed. You might as well go watch wrestling, you know. And I think that's the reason some people are coming back to short track racing are getting a little sick of it.
Yeah. Nasty car.
But let me say something. Let me say something here.
I'm not a big NASCAR fan, trust me, you know.
Dick, let me say something. This is Rob again. Now, from what you just said, okay, about NASCAR, having a car, having a certain car, certain body, certain motor, you got to run and all that. This brings me to my issue of today. Coming back into late model racing, something that I have a big issue with is progressive racing engines and ABC bodies being like the number one thing that's on certain promoters' minds when it comes to promoting late model races today. Now, the progressive super late model motor that they have of today, to me, is the same thing as the high compression motor that they used to make run a 390 or a two barrel on. But my flat top that I got to run today is still running against those guys with the same carburetor on them today. Now, you know the rules that are going on here. What do you think about the motor rules of today in super late model? I'm not even talking about limiteds. I'm talking about in supers.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I'm not saying it because I have one, I think this new spec engine has helped tremendously. It's got the same horsepower as your $30,000 engine that costs $15,000. It's cut the engine bill in half. And I've been running one now for over 6 months without the first problem. So yeah. I think that's a good thing in the right direction. I think getting all the cars with the same body, that's in the right direction. I used to run all the tracks all over the state, and every time I wanted to go to another track, I'd have to change the spoiler, I'd have to change the weight, I'd have to change the carburetor. And at least we're getting universal rules, which I think are helping everybody. I haven't personally raced down at Punta Gorda, but from everything I hear, I have to commend them, because you could take any car you have, any motor you have, and you could go down there and fit in. That's really something that's been needing to be done at all the tracks for years.
Well, that's,
and
that's
I understand the way they got it. It's pretty darn fair, you know.
That's so anybody can race. I mean, that was the whole thing behind that.
Everybody
can race.
Is bragging about it, you know. I haven't talked to one person that was unhappy.
You know, I'm kind of biased because, you know, I'm the announcer there, but I'm a fan before anything else.
Yeah.
And I was very skeptical whenever they said they're going to bring limiteds, they're going to bring lates, they're going to bring supers, they're going to bring ASAs, they're going to bring them all in here and let them run together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, man, the ASAs and the supers are just going to run away with this thing.
Yeah.
And they have it.
The reason they get away with it, you know, like I said, I gave the pluses, but let me give the minuses now. That only works at your small racetracks like Punta Gorda, Ocala, Inverness. If you would go to New Smyrna with those rules, then you would see certain classes having an advantage.
You're only going to go so fast.
Punta Gorda, Ocala, Inverness, you can only use so much horsepower.
That's
so
it.
Having a big $35,000 motor would probably hurt you more than it would help you. So, you know, these quarter-mile and third-mile tracks, you can institute rules like that, and it's just the best thing in the world.
Where is your take on you've been obviously following the ASA late model series pretty closely because you work with David Wilson in that series. What's your take on the crate motor deal with all that?
There again, I've got mixed emotions. It's I'm not in favor of the high dollar motors because I could never afford one back when I was racing. So trust me, I'm dead against those. The crate motor is definitely going in the right direction, but it's going just a little bit too far in the other direction. You need to hit somewhere in the middle there, you know, and that's why I like the spec motor so well, you know. I think the crate motor, by the time you get done, you've spent $7,000 or $8,000. The high-dollar motor, you've spent $30,000. The spec engine with about 605 horsepower, you've spent $15,000. I feel like that lands you in a good spot because you can go to Lakeland with that. You can go to New Smyrna with that. You know, you can go anywhere in the state and run good. The crate motor, it works out good at the small racetracks, you know. You start going to New Smyrna on these big tracks, and it gets just a little bit on the boring side because it's so hard to pass. Everybody's going the same speed down the straightaway, and it's you know, pretty hard to you know, I think you have a few engine problems when you get them on the bigger tracks, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. I just feel like it was stepping back a hair too far. if you get away from a third or a quarter mile track, then I think the racing gets just a little on the boring side.
Dick, what I was going to say is I still think that, and it's because I'm cheap. I've always been a guy that hasn't had the money to really race. Okay, I mean, and that's a fact. I mean, I had a car. And motor and trailer and everything where some guys pulled out
your
toolboxes,
racer.
You know, faster, toolboxes that cost more than my car. So what I was going to say is $15,000 is still a lot of money in today's time to pay for a motor. What they're trying to do is get these, you know, late model classes to where we've got full fields of cars all the time with a motor that costs less than that. And I'm going to say it, and everybody's going to laugh anyways,
yes,
and I don't
go
care.
Through two crate motors to three crate motors in the time you'll go through one of the other motors, so now do the math.
You're right there with the crate motors. I don't necessarily like the crate motors. What I was going to say is my flat top motor that I have, I'll be lucky if I have $12,000 in the whole thing, all of it.
Oh, wait, I have a question.
So my flat top, okay, with a steel head, is it cost me less money. I only got 580 horsepower. Okay, now, at Charlotte, I don't care, Dick, you know that. That's 600 horsepower. They're never going to hook that up at Charlotte.
That's
already proven to everybody out there that no matter what late model you bring out there, I don't think, and you'll probably agree, that anybody's going to run no 1490s there with a super coming this weekend. They might, but I think only in the old days of the track could you run those kind of times at that track. So it's just like what you said at the small racetrack. Doesn't matter if you have a crate motor. Doesn't matter if you have a spec motor. Doesn't matter if you have a limited on a two-barrel.
Well, you're just repeating what I said.
That's it.
Dick, did I hear you right that the crate late model motors, those motors they're running, that you'll buy more of those because they don't hold up? Is that what
I
heard?
They're a wet sump engine. You know, you'll go through a couple of those in the course of a year.
I gotcha.
And there's guys that are cheating with those motors today. That's another issue with those.
You're kidding.
And that's
an
issue.
Basically stock rods and all. So,
I mean,
it's like pay me now or pay me later, you know.
it'd be nice if they...
I'm all for the people who can't afford a high-dollar motor. I can't afford one either. I wouldn't even have a race car right now if I had to have a high-dollar motor.
Yeah, a high-dollar motor.
Motor lands you in between, and you can go anywhere and race.
Okay, so...
That's true.
With the crate motor right now, that runs fine at Ocala or Punta Gorda. If you decide one weekend you wanted to go to New Smyrna to a big race or Lakeland and all, you can't do it.
It won't work, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dick, if you could get all the promoters in a room here in Florida, and put them all and sit down and they listen to the Dick Anderson.
We'd probably have to restrain him a little bit.
They have the rules very close to what Punta Gorda's got.
If we put them all together, what do you think, and I'm just joking, of course, but what do you think of, you know, NASCAR, we got all these kids racing. They got these dreams, like Hollywood dreams of going to NASCAR and becoming big stars or whatever and spending all this money. And like you said right at the beginning, a lot of them don't work on the cars and all that. It doesn't seem to me that bodes as good a good a future for the sport. I mean, how do we do this so that the guys can make this a little more affordable? Not that, you know, everybody wants to make money. Obviously, that may not be possible.
Well,
but how?
On the show now, there's nobody, let's face it, there ain't nobody racing for the money, you know?
Yeah. So how can we make this more affordable for these guys?
The ASA deal is probably the best deal that's come along, especially for these young kids. And it's affordable, and it's kind of like a stepping stone. If a kid goes in and runs real good in ASA for a year or two, it's real easy for him to take the step into Hooters Pro Cup. Then from the Hooters Pro Cup, you can step into the Busch. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So the ASA right now is kind of like a savior for a division to get these kids started.
We got some good kids up there in ASA.
So then would it help? Would it help if the tracks? I mean, is it all about the motors? Would it help is that what it's about, or is there more to it than that?
Well, no, I don't really understand your question.
What he's saying is he's not understanding. I think between the crate motor can't turn a lot of RPM.
You've got a Punta Gorda, are absolutely beautiful for the whole state as far as I'm concerned. But now if you're talking about a division for these guys with that want to be in the Daytona 500 in 10 years, then we've got the ASA that just started the last couple of years. It's beautiful for that.
Yeah, I think the ASA series has been a great series, like you said, for upcoming racers and for a budget, you know, because you think of what ASA Racing costs, what it used to cost as ASA Racing and what it costs today. It's definitely a better stepping stone, I think, getting
They've
into the Hooters.
They've had 20-some cars at every race. I would say that speaks for itself.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what I was trying to say is that if we, even though $15,000 seems like a lot of money to me for a spec motor, if we could get that price for a motor down even more in a super late model that was more affordable for everybody, I think that we would see more cars. And my point,
you can get it down any more than that without having motors that are going to blow up as soon as you go to a good racetrack.
Yep. Well, I don't know.
Are you saying you're back to the thing? If you'll be fine at Charlotte or Auburndale or somewhere, and you go to
Auburndale, at Charlotte, at Ocala, at Inverness. But if you want to start stepping up to bigger racetracks and get more attention, then you're going to have to step up to a little bit better motor.
Yeah. Well, I think if they would, another thing too, Dick, is that I don't have a problem with a spec motor. If I know what's in it, if I can build one myself, if they're going to have a spec motor and say, okay, these are the rods and these are the crank, well, what if you're your own motor builder? What if you were the guy that built your own flat top motor back in the day? Well, they won't even tell me what's in this motor, so I can go build my own spec motor. And what really gets aggravating as a racer that races against a guy that has a progressive motor is he comes through and he's got a progressive valve cover on there and they just ride him right on through and they don't check anything. But yet I come through and they want to tear my motor apart because it's got steel heads on it, and it's a flat top. But that's the only thing that kind of aggravates me. I don't mind a spec motor if I can build my own spec motor. Tell me what the specs are and let me build my own motor. That was the only qualm I had with it. Besides that, yes, it is.
Well, it's then everybody's going to be building them there again. You're going to have to get back into tearing it down and all.
Well, that's fine, but I don't know what's inside that progressive motor.
Well, they got seals on them, and the – and, you know, if you want to look at one, imagine you can, you know.
Okay.
Well, we know a lot about Dickie Anderson, the racer, and the father, and all those things. How about a little bit about Dickie?
That's one of those spec motors, I mean, you know.
He's still on the spec motor.
You're still on the spec.
She wants
trying
to
get you.
Gears.
She shifted your transmission on you, Dick.
Dick, she wants to talk about family, and I just want to talk about motors.
Well, the fans would like to know a little bit about Dickie Anderson, the man.
Yeah. Well, on the motor deal, let me sum it up saying this. From the day I started racing.
You're a motorhead.
I mean, to know that guy's getting away with something in his motor. Oh, this guy's getting away. If you're racing down at Punta Gorda, as long as you're not at New Smyrna or Lakeland, you're kind of blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's, you're right.
And you're just getting nitpicky to where that's been going on forever. You're always going to think somebody else is running something that you're not. But if you go to, like if I go to Punta Gorda racing, I could care less what motor anybody's got.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
I agree. I agree with you there at the small tracks. There's no doubt. It doesn't matter to me here, but if I wanted to go race at Lakeland and go have a good time, that's all it's going to be, is just having a good time, because yeah, there's not going to be anybody in the top 10.
Dickie, can I quote you on that?
On what?
About you don't care what motor anybody is running at Charlotte?
It doesn't matter.
No, it really does not matter.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
I'll go put
Ocala or Inverness.
And I agree.
That's awesome.
And he's good at Inverness, too.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, he's good at Inverness.
Most motors I ever had, I probably won the most races with there.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
You going to be down there at Punta Gorda watching your son this weekend?
I'll go down with Wayne this weekend, uh-huh.
All right,
awesome.
Good.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what you do during your spare time.
Oh, there is no spare time.
There is no spare time. You're a true motorhead, right?
There's no such thing as spare time.
No fishing,
I
no...
I work daily on race cars, and I maintain them for people, and that's how I make my living. But right now, I'm pretty much full-time with David Wilson, maintaining his cars and racing with him and having a pretty good time doing it.
David's got a lot of promise.
Yeah, he's, I'm really happy where I'm at right now.
Dickie, I mean, you've been in the short track scene forever and a day. Tell everybody, when did you start getting into racing? How old were you? And where'd you start racing at?
I was driving in Hialeah Speedway when I was 15 years old, and I think that was 1963.
Well, I told I wasn't even born yet when he started.
I wasn't even a twinkle in somebody's eye.
That's all right, Dickie. I was here.
Oh, goodness.
Was that track still flat then when they first opened it, as it was when they closed it?
It's always been the same, yep.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever get a chance to run on any dirt at all?
Oh yeah, I've ridden dirt. Uh-huh.
That was kind of one of that. That's kind of a big thing with me because I got caught going to a dirt track this weekend. But I've always liked dirt track racing. I love watching ARCA cars.
Yeah.
You know, they do those couple races a year. They go run dirt track. Do you see anywhere in short track racing on a Saturday night level for dirt track cars and asphalt cars to get together and run a series when they're running both asphalt and dirt tracks together?
Gosh, I really don't. It's just two different worlds. I really don't see that ever happening.
Do you see a lot of kids needing to get a lot more dirt track experience, or is it okay just to go ahead and stick them on the asphalt?
I've got mixed emotions there, you know. I think asphalt drivers make better dirt drivers than dirt drivers do asphalt drivers.
Because the dirt's changed.
And I can prove my point. You look back in the 60s and 70s and 80s at all the people that left Tampa where you're at there and went up north and made it big as dirt track stars, you know.
Right, right, I mean, right.
Just go on and on with the list, you know, from people that left Florida, which Florida was all asphalt. They went up north in the 60s and 70s and made big names for themselves, you know. Will Cagle, Buzzy Rudiman, Jackie Evans, you know, you could just go on and on and on, you know. All the people that went up there and became big, big stars, and they didn't run dirt down here.
We got a couple super late model drivers down here that are going dirt up at Volusia, Rich Pratt and...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing good.
Yeah, Patrick Williams, they're having a ball.
And they're doing great, my point is.
They are, they're winning.
Hey, Dick, you remember when they used to run the road courses in the late model series?
Oh, yes, I remember very well.
Now, I personally would love to see that come back
in
some kind of series.
We used to do two a year.
Yeah, I know, and right when I started.
That was so much fun to just have that. I wouldn't want to do probably any more than two or three a year.
No, that would be great.
To have all the guys go and do a little something different like that, see the camaraderie and all. It was like everybody was buddies on the road course weekend, you know?
Yeah, I bet it was a blast.
And it was just so much fun for everybody to go and do something different like that. I really miss that.
So, see, that's a good promotion to do.
So let's put something together,
Dickie.
Oh, it was
cool down at Sebring. I think you
it
blew
wasn't
up
Sebring. That's
you blew up a motor down at Sebring, didn't you?
I've ran really, really extremely well every one we ever had.
I think the last
and
one they
I
did.
I had a couple flats and a blue motor in one, but I was extremely fast every one I ever went to.
Yeah.
I remember they quit doing them when I started in the Florida Pro Series, like a couple years prior to that, they had stopped, and it was back in 98 or something. So I would like to see that come back. And maybe I'll have to talk to Bobby Deal, because Bobby Deal was a big road racer. And maybe talk to him about if there's anybody that can make it happen to be him.
Just as much as me.
Dick, what is the most fun? What are some of the most fun times when you're just sitting around with your buddies, thinking about stuff you've done in the past? What is the most fun that you think you've had out there on the racing circuit?
Probably had the most fun the first 5 years of racing when everything wasn't so serious. You know, you had a few hundred bucks in your car and you worked your butt off on it, towed it with the track with a chain, and everything wasn't so serious. You know. And nowadays, everything's so expensive, that makes it serious, you know. So I actually had a whole lot more fun when I was in the lower divisions racing than when I got in the top division.
Would you have anything to say for a lot of, you know, we're talking about the kids with money coming into it and not knowing, you know, not working on the cars. Would you have anything to say, any words of wisdom for the kids that are out there that have been working on the cars, that have been running your Saturday Night Bomber series, that have been working their ways up into the mini stocks, up into a limited late sportsman, stuff like that? What would be the, you know, what would be the way for them to go?
As far as, you know, I'm prejudiced. I came up through that way. I mean, I pumped gas in a gas station most of my life, you know, when I started racing and I believe that's the way you should do it. Your talent comes up at a natural level, and also you learn what to do and what to appreciate. And nowadays, they darn near start off in super late models, and they don't appreciate what they have, you know?
Amen.
If most of these drivers had to work harder to get what they've got, they would appreciate it a whole lot more, you know? But like I say, don't get me wrong, I wish I was a young driver, you know, and didn't have to come through the ranks and didn't have to work hard.
I think a lot of
I would be just as bad. I would be just as bad at as far as that side of it as they are.
But, Dick, Dick,
the guy that comes through the bomber ranks and everything like that, when he does get to a higher level, he's going to appreciate it a whole lot more, and he's probably going to do it awful well.
Awesome.
When you're working with these youngsters, what is the hardest thing that you have? Like, what's the toughest aspect of what you're trying to teach them to get across to the kids?
The hard aspect is they're new at it, and when they come in off the racetrack, they can't tell you what the car's doing, how to adjust on the car, and rightly so. If I only had a year or two of experience, I wouldn't be able to tell you either. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
But that's the hardest aspect for me, is to try to tune the car, and I have to do it mostly just by sight. And a lot of times them things will look like they're doing something that they're not, you know. So it's really, really hard to try to work with a driver that hasn't been around for a while, because you know, like I say, they're trying to learn, and they just really don't know what to tell you.
Don't you think a lot of the kids are living their father's dreams?
What's that again?
Do you think that it's a lot of the kids are living their father's dreams?
Oh, yes.
There's no doubt.
I've seen some of them that look like they hate life.
I think a lot of the drivers like it a whole lot more than the kids do, you know?
Yeah, well, it was one thing I noticed.
You know, I'm the same way.
Thing I noticed about some of the kids that are coming up is they don't even know what a tire stagger tape is.
And like I say, that really bothers me, but probably because I came from the other side of the tracks, you know, I had to learn it all in order to do it, and I would really like to see them have to learn it, because it would make them a much, much better driver. The boy I'm helping now, his dad has him coming up to the shop 2 days a week to work on the car, and I think that's just an excellent idea. I think that would really, really move on the right side, because the more they have to work on it, the more they'll see how much work it takes to put it back together when they tear it up, and plus they'll start learning what makes the race car tick, and it'll make them a whole lot better driver. So I'm really happy that Mr. Wilson made that move with David, because it's going to make him a better driver.
And they're excellent people, great people to be around with. I'm sure you
best people I've ever worked for. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, great people, and you guys are all getting all packed up and ready to go to Birmingham.
Well, we decided that we wanted to go to Bristol more than Birmingham, and it was so close together, it was almost impossible to do both. So we're going to skip Birmingham and go to Bristol. Like I told them, for someone that's never been to Bristol, it's quite an experience.
Oh, that's cool. Now, are you going then the following week to Orange County?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
But I guess we're going to take two cars to Bristol, and Scott Walters is going to drive one, and David Wilson's going to drive the other.
Oh. All right. That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool.
Well, all once right. again, Dickie, you're...
I think they'll thoroughly enjoy that trip.
Once again, Dickie, you're going to be coming down here to...
more than a trip.
Dickie, you're going to be coming down here with Wayne this weekend to the Charlotte County Motorsports Park, right?
Right now, I don't have anything to do, and unless something pops up, I'm thinking about maybe coming down there with him.
Well, I tell you what, I really do hope you come, because I'd love to meet you again and shake your hand and get your autograph, because growing up, you've been one of my short track heroes, sir.
Well, that's quite a compliment coming from you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to come find you, Dick. I'm going to come find you. I might need a little help myself.
To BS and tell a lot of lies, you know.
Dickie, it's time for us to take a break here, and I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show. You're always a delight to talk to about racing, because you know racing better than most people.
My pleasure, and I loved hearing from Bonehead, too. I'm glad to see he's back.
That's right. You come see me. I'll be racing this weekend, and always remember, you're the king, Dick.
All right, buddy.
I'll see you next Saturday. Take care, and thank you so much again.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Dickie.
Thanks, Dick.
Night, Dickie.
Man, that was cool.
He was a cool cat. I'm going to take you down there and personally introduce you to him.
I know what you should do.
I'm going to drag you down there.
I'll tell you what you should do. You should bring him over. You go get him, and you talk to him. You bring him over to the front
grandstand. Bring him to the mic.
Right under the flag stand, you take a little thing and you do an interview with them right there in front of all them fans.
That's
man.
A good idea.
They'll love it. Let him come down and get an autograph from the king. He's not shy. And your fans would love it, man.
I'm meeting Bob up at the track this weekend early, and we're going to go do some interviews and stuff.
There
so
you go.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I'll tell you, isn't it funny? Now, sometimes it's harder to interview guys like Dick Anderson, even though he's a very easy guy to talk to. Sometimes it's harder to interview guys like that than it is upcoming race car driver, because there's so many questions you want to ask him, you can't choose which ones you want to ask.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and it's funny. He's one thing he's always got is a good, qualified answer to a question that you give him. And any question that I ever gave him, you know, like I said, there's a few guys, you know, as me coming up, that have helped me become a racer. I'm not really a great racer, but I'm a pretty good racer, you know, and I've raced a lot of laps. Dave Pletcher was one of them.
it, had it not been for a guy like Dave Pletcher, a guy like me, wouldn't ever became much of a racer. Time for a break.
Yeah, it's time for a break. Got to pay the bills. This is Inside Florida Racing.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
That guy right there is a champion. He's been a champion all his life, but he's been in a race car. That right there is an exercise on how you race people. The 19 car, I don't know what to say on that deal. I'm up to the door, going in a corner. You know, we're counting cautions. It's a 100-lap race. You know, up to the door. I don't know how far you got to be, but, you know, that's just racing accident. And the bullet, just purposely go underneath the caution light. That's absolutely ridiculous. And
oh, yeah. Press the button, Jack.
And I think we have somebody really special on.
Well, hey, wait. Here's the deal.
What?
Here's the deal. When you have the king on.
Yes. You have to follow with the prince.
You have to follow with the prince who drives his car. I mean, what are you doing?
Jeff Choquette. How lucky could that be?
Coming off a win at DeSoto Super Speedway.
Jeff Choquette.
So he finally took it. He finally let Baldy didn't make it, huh? Mr. Clean, you kept him clean. You beat him. Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You beat him. Tell me about how you beat him and what happened to Yoho. Did he show up at all
during
the race?
Don't you talk bad about Yoho.
yeah, Robert was there, but I don't think his night was going too well for him. I know we lapped him a couple times. I think he was.
Oh, you weren't supposed to say that. That's terrible.
I think it was as they say, one of the luckiest days. 7707. I guess it's supposed to be one of the luckiest days, but
not for me. I didn't win the lottery.
We were pretty far off the pace. I mean, we had a lot of problems with our car, you know, just getting a hold of the track and stuff all day Friday and Saturday. But for some reason, come around to the race, we got, you know, the lucky roll of the dice. We got a 5, and then that put us on the pole, and which always helps. And then we led the whole race and ended up with a win.
Awesome.
Very good. So you did who was fast qualifier?
Wayne Jefferson. He is fast qualifier. We also... I mean, we qualified 5th, but we were still fighting the car all day through practice and qualifying.
Boy, I tell you, when it's hot there at that racetrack, that is one tough place to even try to drive around and even do any practice on. Do you usually go to the practice nights prior to your races?
Yeah, we always go anytime they have a Friday practice or something, like even with the ASA events and over at DeSoto and all the Sunbelt races that we go to. But, like, DeSoto is one of the worst places. It's like, temperature sensitive, you know. Every time, if it gets real hot, the track doesn't have a lot of grip. And when it gets cold, it has all the grip in the world. And it's just a hard place to figure out.
Oh, well, you know, there's no doubt about that. That's one of the tracks that's really, you know, John, he's proud of that surface that racetrack has. But I tell you what, man, you drive around it on a golf cart, it's unbelievable just how rough it really is. You can't really tell from the grandstands. But I'm just glad they're keeping all the tracks open. Jeff, are you going to come race with us on Saturday at Charlotte County Speedway?
No.
Saturday we'll be in Alabama for an ASA race.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But if I didn't have an ASA race scheduled, you know, we'd probably venture over that way and, you know, go over there and race with you guys. But unfortunately, we have a...
So the next time we can count on you, right?
Well, if it's not another ASA race, I mean, ASA, Charlotte County, ASA, Charlotte County, let's see, which one am I going to do, you know?
I'll make sure there's a rainstorm where that ASA race is.
Well, that's good, Jeff. I'm glad to hear that you're out there racing strong out there. How do you feel, well, let's ask you this, how have you done in ASA so far?
We've ran really well. We just had a couple of bad breaks. You know, at Brompton, we got a bad qualifying draw and started in a pack and worked our way up and had a mishap in the end of the race and ended up finishing 12th. And we went to Georgia, qualified second, and we're running really good and just had nowhere to go. Got caught up in an accident and finished 11th. But New Smyrna started turning around and hopefully just gets better from here on out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that it will, you know, and I'm sure. Now, let me ask you this. Being a late model driver, I've never driven a car with a crate motor in it before. Your super that you have obviously doesn't have a crate motor in it. So we were talking to Dick a little bit about the differences there. Why don't you try to express to the folks listening about the difference between driving a crate motor car and then driving the horsepower of a super?
Well, the best way, I mean, if people watch, you know, like Nextel Cup races and stuff, when the Nextel Cup goes to, like, a super speedway, you know, they always sit there and they express how much, you know, if a guy lets out of the gas, how much momentum they lose. And that's the best way I can explain it. First, a crate motor car into a super late model. You know, a super late model has so much horsepower that, you know, you can get out of the gas for a second, but with the crate engines, they're down so much on horsepower, and once you get out of it, the next guy's behind you with a full head of steam, and he's coming, and it's hard to stop him.
I don't know if this is a stupid question or not, but when you were on the Gong Show, after the Gong Show, did you get anything good from that after it was all over?
Did you get any money?
No. I definitely didn't get any money. It was a fun experience, And, you know, I got to thank all the people at Roush for even having me with, you know, the little resume that I took up there and the little bit of experience that I had. They took a gamble with me. And to answer your question, I didn't get anything from the Roush show. I didn't get any calls from anybody or offering for any rides or anything.
I'm really surprised that...
Wait a minute.
Did you get any, dates out of that?
No,
some hot girls?
Everybody's yelling at me here.
Just wait a minute. Jeff Choquette, I don't believe that I heard you say with the little bit that you had, the little bit of resume that you had, you won the Florida Governor's Cup, dude. You put a spanking on the best racers in this. You get off that dirt track, go over there, and put a spanking on these guys. Had them all scratching your head. That's a pretty good resume, dude.
He just didn't have a good person to write it out.
Like some of the kids that were in the Gong Show, you know, they had experience in ARCA. Some of them, a couple had experience in trucks, and maybe even some had a couple experience in Bush and stuff. And, you know, I was just a couple years on asphalt, my second year on asphalt racing, and they had a little bit more experience than I did.
You know how you win the Gong Show, Jeff?
How?
You take a good sponsor there with you when you go, and you tell Roush, hey, I got money, and you'll win the Gong Show, trust me.
But I don't know if there's any truth to it.
Oh, there's truth to it. Jeff, listen, you go find you a good sponsor, son, and you will be racing a Nextel Cup car. If you can go find you a sponsor of big money, because that's all those guys have.
Jeff, they come knocking on your door
when you got the sponsors and the bucks.
That's
like
right.
That. When That's you right. don't, it's tough.
Yeah, you're a bonehead then.
Yeah, I agree.
You have a history of racers in your family. Am I not correct?
Yeah, my grandfather, he won the 1954 NASCAR Modified Championship, which in the NASCAR Modified Championship in 54 was just like NASCAR how it is today.
Well, Jack was there. He was at that race.
He was there. He goes to everyone. But he won it in 54, and my dad's done a little bit of racing and stuff, and that's where I got it from.
How long how old are you now, Jeff?
20.
20. When did you start racing? How old were you?
I was 9 years old when I started racing
go-karts. Now, where did you start racing those at? Are you from Florida, or was it up north?
Oh, yeah. I'm born and raised in West Palm Beach, and I started racing a go-kart at Hope Sound, which is maybe about 45 minutes from my house, and then, you know, it escalated from there. You know, we started running Florida, or the FKA series, which is a series that runs all around the state of Florida, and just started going up and up and from there, and then we moved the stock cars on dirt, and then that's how I got into the dirt late model. And I was a little aggressive in a dirt late model. I was always wide open on the gas, so my dad bought me an asphalt car, and then that's where I'm at today.
See, they wanted him to be less aggressive, so they got him an asphalt car.
I don't know about that.
You know, wide open and sideways and on dirt track, when it gets start getting dry slick, you know, you kind of have to calm down a little bit.
Oh, come on. Now, that dirt...
You can't drive so sideways, you know, because that's not the fast way. So my dad bought me an asphalt car, because on asphalt, you're going slow when you start driving sideways. So he bought me an asphalt car, and then we ran a couple races, and we decided asphalt was a better way to go.
Just to change the subject quickly, did you happen to see what they did to me on the Karnak board today?
Oh, jeez.
They actually ripped me apart because Tony Stewart said bad words on the radio.
What did he say?
The mofo words.
Jeff, who's
and
your...
And I got hell for it.
Jeff, who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
Tony Stewart.
I'd have to agree with Carol. I'd probably say Tony Stewart. You know,
Smoke.
He's outspoken. You know, he'll tell you what he thinks, and like you said, you know, he said bad words on the radio, and he'll tell you what he thinks, and, you know, he's not scared to say what's on his mind.
Plus,
you know,
he's a track owner.
Yeah. You know, also, I heard the word is out. Tony is listening tonight because he heard that we were bashing him. But, Jeff, I mean, you know, being a fan, being a race car driver.
Tony Stewart won't listen.
I am not bashing.
Okay, well, I
Tony,
am.
Tony, if you're listening, please call me.
I'm bashing.
Tony, if you're listening, I know a kid named Jeff Chiquette that is one of the best racers in Florida.
Did you actually get to see the Daytona race?
No, I didn't. I watched a little bit of it. I watched the most important part of the race. I watched the last 5 laps.
So he's a smart young man as well. See?
He thought Tony was half a lap ahead when he was watching it.
I got to see the end of the race, and that's all I got to see.
From a driver's standpoint, what do you think happened there? I mean, we heard Tony's side of the story. He thinks the 11 ran out of talent. As a driver, what do you think happened?
I don't know. I didn't get to see that part of the race. Like I said, the only part I got to see was probably the last 5 or 10 laps of the race.
My
opinion
that
is a heck
Tony
of a finish.
Tony had a good run and he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, that happens a lot
at
Daytona.
Yeah, it does.
It's my fault.
I bet it was hell in the shop come this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Gibbs was too happy with
it. I'd like
this
to
morning.
Apologize to everybody in the racing world for what I did to Tony this
so,
weekend.
So, Jeff, you're heading for Birmingham. I wasn't here, so if you guys already hit this. You're heading to Birmingham this week?
While you were out, we talked about
that. We're going to leave. They're having a Friday practice up there, and we're leaving. Since I was so far down south, We have quite a haul, so we're going to leave Thursday afternoon and head up there to get up there for rig parking and practice on Friday.
What do you do about your job? How do you get off work?
Don't even answer that.
Right now, my job is me and my friend, his name's Ryan, we work on the race cars in the shop, and prepare them to go, you know, to each race and stuff. And
you got it.
It's piecework. It's piecework, right?
Jeff, you got it made. Don't make anybody mad. Just keep doing what you're doing and enjoy it while you can. Because, buddy, let me tell you, it doesn't come that easy as you get older.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to make the most out of it. So
do it.
You know, hopefully one day I could be racing for a career.
That's right.
Yeah, so go ahead.
If you talk to David Ruderman, I was going to say, if you talk to David Ruderman, he did the same thing, you know. He worked and struggled and raced and raced and raced and raced in front of people and talked to people. And if you continue to do that, that's why I was saying the gong show that you did was great. Can you do it again?
I don't think they're going to do the gong show anymore.
I think they're done with it. Yeah, that's what I read.
I think they bought an Arca car, and they're going to do like sled drivers that they feel that they want to put in their trucks, whoever brings money to the table, or they're going to put them in the Arca
Junior
car.
Junior needs somebody for his car.
Do you have somebody actively engaged in sponsorship, chasing, acquisition, whatever?
No, I don't. We're looking for that, you know, all the time. You know, even the race around Florida, we're looking for sponsorship. But if anybody's interested, I'm definitely looking.
Yeah,
you and me both. But
anybody gets is going to be real lucky too.
No, we need to get Jeff Chiquette a big time sponsor.
That's yeah, right. And Jeff, you need to keep looking and keep doing like, you know, Carl Edwards talked about, passing those cards out. Go to some of those races and pass the cards out and see, you know, have you heard about Jeff Chiquette? You know, let me tell you about myself. You know, that's the only way you're going to do it is to be self-promoting. If you're self-promoting, then you'll find somebody that says, hey, this kid not only can drive, look at him, he can sell something. Because if you can't sell yourself, you're going to have a hard time selling a product.
I mean, who would have thought? Yeah. Who would have thunk it? David Ruderman's out there selling Domino's pizzas.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, or Burger King, you know, any of it. You know, we used to race with David back in Ocala days when it was a dirt track, and then they turned it into asphalt track, and David got into racing the all-pro stuff. Then he got into the trucks. He got into the right people. And, Jeff, you're not far behind it because you do a good job when you're behind the wheel, and that's most important. If you keep your concentration when you're behind the wheel and always strive to do good, I think that we'll see you one day on TV.
Jeff's the top. Jeff's one of the top guys in Florida, ain't no doubt about it. Now, so you're going to go to Birmingham, then you're going to go up to August 4th. You'll be at Bristol, and then August.
Yeah, we're going to try to make that race. We're getting our cars ready, and you know, I just don't want that race to conflict with, you know, our points in the.
That's top, right. So. You have a you're up there in the top five in the points, right?
Yeah, we're third right now.
In the ASA late model series. Yeah,
we're 20 out of second, and. Like something like 50 out of first, so we're still in the game, and you know, we're going to go to Bristol with a different car. So
there you go.
We go up there, go to Birmingham, run good. Go to Bristol and run good. Then it'll be a good month.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see you at Birmingham, but in the ASA Late Model South Division race. But I will be at Orange County on the 11th of August when you're there, and I can look forward to that.
Okay.
So now, if it rains out, though, make sure that you come on back down south and bring that late model down here.
Oh, yeah. I'll try.
Yeah, you just make it this just a little hop, skip, and a jump, huh?
Jeff, in your short, fast, and furious career, what's been your favorite place to run so far?
Even though, you know, I've had the worst luck in the world there, Lakeland, like the bigger tracks are a lot of fun to me. And Lakeland's been a lot of fun, but I've had no luck there at all. And new places like bigger, like New Smyrna, you know, some of them ASA tracks we're going to go to, you know, the bigger the better.
Easy driving, that's what you like, easy driving.
Yeah. Tell us about easy driving. Tell us about that little qualified run. He's up there trying to qualify on that slick track at New Smyrna a couple weeks ago. And we were standing in turn four at the top looking down the track as he comes around. What was that like, man? What was that like, Jeff?
You know, going like when you go to a track and you're used to running on Goodyears, you know how the track, how it's going to react and stuff. And you go there and you're on Hoosiers, and it's a totally different Hoosier than they run down in DeSoto. And the tires, they just didn't get hot enough, and you got to try to get all you can. And I was trying to get a little bit too much, and it stepped out on me. And I seen what the guy did before me. I seen him climb the wall, so I kind of backed out of it and feathered it. I knew I was already in the show, and I didn't want to climb the wall like he did, so I just said, I'll settle for wherever I qualify.
You made some contact with the wall, just barely.
I don't know. I didn't have any scrapes on my car, but if I did, it was...
It was
It was funny. We could see you whipping that wheel around in there, though.
That's no place. That's no place to get sideways because I backed her in the wall there and got hit by another car and about knocked my teeth out.
When you hit there, you hit pretty hard.
Well, Jeff, I had a good time talking to you, buddy. If I come back down and race at DeSoto, maybe I'll see you there. If not, I expect to see you sometime or another in Charlotte County at one of these races. And good luck in the ASA. I hope you win the whole thing.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to leave a spot open for him down at the track.
Oh, he's a cool guy. He's a nice good guy.
Jeff, thank you.
He's gone.
You gone?
Oh, he's already gone. We just booted him off.
What the heck did you do? Kick him?
I push him.
Well, you know those stars. You can't keep them on for long. You just button them right out.
This is Oz, man.
Jack's pushing buttons again over there.
It's not break time either. Now, listen here. I got a little announcement to make.
Oh.
We had to cancel because of some things we don't need to really get into. A lot of different reasons, but we had to cancel our deal tomorrow night at TBARA. It's all we posted it all around.
Yeah.
We had to cancel that for a number of reasons. We don't need to get into it. We're going to do it at a different time when we know we'll be able to do a much better show. And just sometimes the stars all get aligned the wrong way, and you just don't need to fight it.
Does that come down to the Carnackians or the Carnassians?
That's exactly right.
Carnations.
The Klingons were giving us a bitchin' of a time. But so tomorrow night, what we're going to do, we're still going to have our live segment of All Harley Drag Racing at 8:30, and that's going to be pretty cool because we have this lady on, Valerie Thompson, who has a land speed record holder in Bonneville Salt Flats. She was in the GoDaddy.com Super Bowl commercial. She's like a beauty queen who goes like 200 miles an hour on a motorcycle, man.
You ever seen Angel?
She's a beauty queen.
Prior to that, we're going to replay some interviews that are pretty cool. And one of them you reminded me about when you were talking to him about Ruderman is David Ruderman's interview, which we Bill Green captured when David was getting roasted up there prior when they made the announcement of him going cup racing. It's one of the most awesome interviews. David talks about his life and what he went through and the struggles that they went through before he got the acclaim that he has now.
Yeah, can I tell one quick story? One quick story.
Sure.
To be fast.
Nothing's quick with you.
No, it's quick. This is good.
How about that number 30? What, 54?
this is good. Stop. Stop it. You guys are making fun of
me. He may go fast on the track, but
now,
I tell you what, he talks a mile a minute.
She's timing me.
Go.
The first James Powell Memorial they did when the track was asphalt in Ocala is when I really met David Ruderman. And he helped me out with some tricks around the track and everything a little bit. But prior to that, I had done some practicing, going there and racing, okay? And the actual first time that I met David was at the track. I come up, I said, "Are you David Ruderman?" And he turns around and goes, "Why, you want to kick my ass or something?" And I'm like, "No, why?" He goes, "Well, usually when people come up, they always want to kick my ass because I turn them around or something." And I realized after racing around with him, because of the fact that David was a real to-the-front racer, sideways, didn't matter how it was, you know, he was a to-the-front kind of guy. And he was one of those guys that even then I used to think, you know, how come he's not actually, you know, racing something else? Why is he here racing with us with these late models, you know, when he could be racing something else? And then he started off on his All-Pro and his trucks, and you see where he's at today. And he is a good Domino's salesman, one of the fastest deliverers out there. Right?
Yeah, so we're gonna do the interview with him. It's an absolutely awesome interview.
That? Kind of windy.
it will get at your heartstrings.
Did you fart? What are you doing?
Hey. No, I love
it. All right, kids.
No, I love David's commercial. I love it. He's hanging the phone out the window, going around the track. What?
He's lost it over there. Look at him. He's lost it.
When are we having David on our show here on these fabulous Mondays?
Well, I'm not sure, but on the 31st of this month at the Snook River Grill.
Is that a Monday?
It's a Tuesday night.
Okay,
and
sorry.
You should probably come up there because Carol Wicks will be there because the entire Ruderman clan, Buzzy Ruderman, Wayne Sr., Wayne Jr.,
the whole clan
is coming down, and we're going to be talking. They're going to be live at the Silk River Grill, and we're going to talk to all of them, and we're also going to talk to David Ruderman for quite a while. We have an extended interview set up with David Ruderman that night. So
we don't get none of them on
no,
Monday.
No, it's like it's got a trick. We got it. We're the
we
like,
could get him first. We could get him first.
We could, right, but, you know, I mean, it's seniority, you know.
And he knows Bonehead, so he's
talking.
So tomorrow night,
we're going to play the Ruderman interview. We're also going to play an interview with Darrell Waltrip, that we did, and we're gonna play an interview that Bill
that
Green.
Was so cool.
Bill Green did an absolutely great interview with Kenny Wallace, and we're gonna play that and a couple of
Herman.
Other
Herman the German.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's what we're gonna do instead. We got the David Ruderman thing coming up. We got the Sunshine Reunion Party, the 24th. Everybody and brother needs to come there and bring your
sister.
See,
you can't
too.
Even appreciate that, can you? You don't know nothing about Sunshine.
Next Monday.
No, you know, nothing about Sunshine. You know it's a whole nother. It's a whole nother clan of idiots.
And no, next, you know what? Next Monday. Now, we're getting to the good part.
Next,
we're getting to the good part. Go, Carol.
Next Monday.
With feeling. With feeling.
Next Monday.
With feeling. We are going to have just a talk show with Don Neurone.
And Sandy Neurone.
And Sandy Neurone. Well, give me a chance. I don't talk as fast as you do. It'll be, we want
Who's
you
Sandy?
All to call. That's his wife. We want you all to call in and have some questions ready for Don, and no crowbars allowed.
Nobody's going to even call.
No.
Can we ask
good.
The,
I mean,
can we ask the difficult
you
questions?
You got Dick Anderson tonight. Next week you got Don Neurone.
I mean, I'm not done. After Don Neurone, I made a special appointment for Tony Stewart.
No, you didn't.
Did?
Not.
Did?
Not.
What's okay. his number?
You guys tune in next Monday. 20. Everybody in the United States.
What do you want?
Are we going to be talking to Smoke?
You better change your attitude if he's listening.
We're going to be talking to Smoke. I'm serious. Are we really going to be talking to Smoke?
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Are we really going to be talking to Smoke?
You better change your attitude.
You better change your attitude.
I'm going to.
Something will happen. Maybe we can get a late model or something. All the sponsorship. You got to have sponsors do this kind of thing because it costs a lot of money. So as long as the money's coming in, we can move up. So. We'll see what happens.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You know what's going on here? Hello, Jeff. one, two. Check.
There
one.
We go. That's better. Good Monday evening to you, Jack. Messing with
yeah,
the
that buttons. Was that was my fault because Carol had me over here like pulling a website craziness.
Can't you
she's,
see?
She's looking
can't
up some information.
Can't you see what that woman's done to me?
She's looking up.
Can't you see this is talk, not music?
Well, you don't like to talk over.
Put your headphones on so you can hear what's going on.
Once again,
I like
good.
Marshall Tucker.
I do too. We need to get him in concert on the show. Anyway, good Monday evening to you. It is a Monday night, weekend after the races. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing with Carol Wicks, myself, racing Jason Beckner, Jack, the man himself, and Bonehead Rob Elting, driver of the number 27. Is late model?
It's super late model this week.
Super late model this week.
Okay, guys, last week we had Scott McAllister on, a spokesperson, announcer for one of the Lake City
Columbia
tracks.
Motorsports Park.
Columbia Motorsports Park, one of the Lake City tracks.
Asphalt.
On the other side of the road, the other side of 75, there's a dirt track, North Florida Speedway. And we have David Brown with us who's going to talk about that, tell us all what was going on up there. And Carol,
we're working our way around the state trying to get everybody in, and tonight's your night.
Hello,
David.
Hello. Hey. Hi, welcome, everybody. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. Didn't miss you, Jack or Jason.
That's all right. That's all right, man.
Well, I tell you one thing. Boy, am I glad I had Jeff on. After having a legend on like Dickie Anderson, I was a little intimidated.
Don't worry about it. I just have to tell you that I am the newest dirt track fan once again.
Uh oh, we lost another one.
My boss is going to hate me.
So tell us a little bit about what you do up there for North Florida Speedway.
Well, as in the past, my main deal is to promote not just North Florida Speedway, but just racing in general. And I personally took an interest in the hobby stock division both last year and this year. But I'm just trying to help Phil and Liz, who are the owners of North Florida Speedway, promote the racetrack, but just promote dirt track racing in general.
How big is the track up there?
It's a 3/8-mile bank dirt track. It's over the last year and this year has completely been redone, new surface, and from what the drivers are telling me, it's definitely very fast. And that's why they like it so much.
So what kind of, this is Bonehead here, what kind of cars you guys race there on your racetrack?
Well, I tell you, it's just a little bit of everything. I mean, we've got the open wheel modified, we've got the B modified, which is our claimer. I think you talked about that the last time I was on. It's a $800 engine claimer race. That includes the intake. And then we've got your street stock, the pure stock, hobby stock, late models, the sprint cars, the mini sprints, just something for everybody.
Beautiful. Now, you know, did you hear Jason talking earlier about mixing the cars back up and maybe getting some of the asphalt cars running on the dirt? Maybe that's what we should do, is organize some kind of late model race over on your dirt track. How do you think that would be? Asphalt late models.
It's funny you bring that up. Phil has already been talking about doing some kind of a promotion like that. So I think if you guys could hook up with Phil, that would probably be very well received.
That would be too cool.
We've been trying very hard to hook up with Phil, but it has not been easy.
I finally got a hold of him. He's very disappointed. He was running late getting home this evening, and one of Florida's finest detained him for a little while.
And who would that be?
A trooper.
Yes, one of Florida's finest state troopers.
Carol, it went right over her head.
That's because I'm a legal eagle.
Who would that be?
But anyway, he arrived home safely and deeply apologizes, but I told him I'd try to fill in best I could.
Well, maybe what I guess should happen there is, if you got a dirt track there and you've got Columbia Motorsports Park right there, maybe you guys should organize some kind of late model race where the first day goes at Columbia and the next day you go do it on the dirt.
Oh, boy.
That would be
something.
That would be cool. And it pays big money. Now, that's the problem, finding big money.
Well, it's like we were talking earlier. Bring the money with you.
Yeah, bring the money with you. Well, it's something to think about, you know. So let's get back to talking about your track. And the classes that you run. Now, you brought up something there that made me and Jason turn and look at each other and go, That's a good idea. And that's the claimer class. You know, I remember back at Sunshine Speedway in the late 90s that they had a $500 claimer rule on the modifieds. And what it did was it kept guys from showing up with such, you know, awesome motors and stuff. So that $800 claimer that you got, I was looking at Jason going, you know what? That'd be great for the modifieds here, because the modifieds, they can't decide anything about what they should run and what the rules are. So tell the folks a little bit about that claimer rule class again.
Well, like I said, I really don't have the expertise to tell you about what all of the engine sizes and are that can run in that B modified class. But I do know that so far this year, it has drawn up, let's see, we've got 28 cars now that have entered into just a few races we've had this year. It's being very, very well received, especially by the fan base. But it controls the amount of money now that, just like Dickie was talking about, it gets too expensive for a lot of guys, and that they want to go out and compete heads up. And so when you've got the opportunity that if you think somebody's doing something they shouldn't, and $800 buys their engine, that helps control all that.
What is your rules on the whole claimer issue? I mean, I've seen times before when the driver says, okay, I'm not selling my motor or anything like that. If you have somebody do that, I mean, what's the rules infraction on them then? What do you do with them?
Well, I can't speak for Phil, but I know that so far that has not been an issue. They understand that to run in that class, your engine's for sale. So to answer your question, I guess I can at this point, because that just hasn't come up, and I don't know what they would be doing should they choose not to do that.
Is it a trade? Is it a trade claimer, or is it a flat $800 you get their motor?
No, it's a trade.
It's a trade. Okay, so see, they're actually switching motors, paying $800, and you're switching motors. You get all your valve covers and stuff like that to put on new motor.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I cleared that up with Phil just before I come on tonight to make sure that, because before the question was, does that include the intake and everything? And he said, yes, it does.
So it's basically just reach in there, pick it out, swap motors over. That's cool.
And listen, now do they have to come back the next week with that motor in the car, don't they?
Correct.
Yeah, see, so another guy will get a chance to buy his motor back. So that's a great idea.
Man, that's that is an awesome, awesome rule. That is just too cool, because, you know, you got to – I've always talked big about the claimer rules. I can remember years ago down south with the open wheel modifieds, they had a claimer rule. I think it was like a $1,200 claimer rule, and there was some issues, people not policing it well enough. I mean, if that is something you can get policed and just stay on top of it, I mean, you guys have seen the benefits of it. You guys' classes are growing.
Oh, I tell you, it's exploding. It's tribute to Phil and Liz. I mean, they've taken the time to listen to what not only the spectators, what would make it more enjoyable for them, but what would make it more enjoyable for the racers. I mean, without the racers, they don't put on a good show. Without a good show, we don't have the fans. So it's kind of a catch-22, but they've made so many improvements again this year by, you know, we've got now permanent bathrooms in the pit area that weren't there. They've added more backstretch seating. And one of the cool things that I've always liked is they've just about got it finished up. They're fencing off the full backstretch, for those that are familiar with North Florida Speedway, and you're going to be able now tailgate and pull your campers up right along the backstretch and watch the races.
That's fantastic. That sounds good.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. And then, obviously, you want to be able to see, so they've added a lot more light to the track. And we've got some new metal grandstands going in on the front stretch. So they're doing all the right things. They're showing up. The car counts are always good. And what's really working out, again, is all the special things we're doing. I mean, the Brown Motorsport Summer Spectacular, which is an 8-race series for the hobby stock class, which I personally put on, is really working well this year. After 4 of the 8 races, due because I made a point change to try to keep it tight, you know, so I'd love to have the last race, 4 or 5 cars, anybody could be my champion.
Yeah, that keeps tight. That's good.
That would be the ultimate, right? Well, after 4 races, I've got 4 guys you could throw a blanket over them. It's like the race to the chase is starting now with the final 4 races. And it's just real exciting. We've got Scotty Nolan in the number 59 being our concrete. Motor Special is just, he's won 2 of my races. But yet out of 4 races, I've had 3 winners, guys.
Right. That's great.
So it's very competitive.
Well, that's good. Competitive racing always keeps fans in the grandstands. And one thing that I like to hear is that I'm hearing more from these people that take over these different tracks, because I know Bobby Deal has done it, and you're talking about Phil and Liz doing it, and that's listening to your racers. And one thing that Bobby kept really strong from the time that he came there and took over Charlotte County Speedway was that the backbone racers are what's important, and it is the lower classes, your lower classes that come every week and put the fans in the stands, basically is what you guys need to look after. And I think that's what a lot of these guys have done, these new owners of these tracks or the new promoters at the tracks have realized that and gone to their racers and said, hey, will it make it better for you guys to run this tire, or will it make it better if you guys have headers, and taking, you know, a show of hands instead of a guy coming and ruling with an iron fist. So it's nice to hear that you guys are doing that there. I personally have never been to your racetrack before. I'm not a dirt racer, but I will put it out there to all the dirt racers out there. Sounds like he's got some good classes built up there. And if you want a challenge, I guess run on up there to Lake City and check it out.
Exactly. And like I said, you guys have got an open invitation any night that you want to come up, run one of my events. I'd love to have you guys come out.
You got a car for us to race?
Pardon me?
You got a car for us to race?
If I know you're coming, I will get you one.
Oh, there
Jason's
you go.
On his way. Here he comes. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I think you said the magic word, Dave.
I have got to get to behind a wheel of a car and race this man. I have to.
I've probably got a open wheel modified I can get you a ride in.
Yeah, well, get two of them because I'm going to show Jason how to drive it around the racetrack.
Really? The guys offered you a ride. Now you want two around.
Well, hey, you know, because I think me and Jason need to race. Or what we'll do is maybe we'll come up there and see you can run faster lap. The guy with the big mouth or the guy that can actually drive? Which is it?
The guy with the big mouth or the guy with the big head?
Yeah, literally.
I'd love to try it on dirt, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm not a dirt racer, so it'd be even pretty much. I've never raced.
The most wicked left-hand turn on a dirt track you'll ever see, because if you miss it, you shoot off into the pit.
Turn one is downright unfair. It's worse than Ocala's turn four.
No way.
Yes.
Not can't be sharper
than
that.
Tell us, Dave, is it not a brutal turn one?
So it's a U-turn.
It is. I'm telling you guys, you can hear it from the racers. It is probably the most scariest left-hand first turn on a dirt track anywhere.
When we stood there, Rick and I were up there early this year for a special event they had. And when the cars, they had the hobby stocks out there. I think it was hobby stocks. And they were running hot laps, you know, practicing. And when you watch the cars go down in turn one, you don't believe that they're actually going to turn. For real.
Bad place to stand and watch it, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need to get two bombers. Don't be blowing those modifieds on these two guys.
We can handle horsepower,
but bombers are awesome, too.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen.
Hey, I love bombers.
I love street stock racing, for sure.
So we're going to have to get we'll hook up here and get Phil on, we really love to have him on this show on our Monday night Inside Florida Racing. We'll have to hook up and get him up with us here real soon, Dave, and really appreciate you standing in.
Well, it was my pleasure, guys. And like I said, one of the things that have really brought North Florida to the forefront, too, is that we're really trying a lot of different things this year with all the fun stuff. You know, the Powder Puff Derbies, we got a big two-day event in August, the 17th and 18th, the monster trucks are going to be there, along with some of the with the pure stock. We've got the motorcycle jumping, the demolition derby going on that weekend. So, like I said, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got something fun for everybody. And anytime, you guys, I mean, you know when my events are, come on down. I will get you a ride.
All right. We're coming.
We'll even promote it. We'll make it it a big deal. We'll be a heads-up race.
Are you guys talking to the wind? Are you really going to do
this?
No.
Of
course they'll do it.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
Of course they'll do it. They're not kidding.
Because I'm thinking about driving up there.
Wait a minute. Wait
with the name
one
Bonehead, you think I'm not going to go for that?
Wait one minute,
hang on, guys.
Carol.
Before you finish the argument, Say goodbye to David.
No. I don't want to say goodbye to David.
Oh, he's okay. Offering us rides.
Oh, okay.
He needs David's car.
Right now. Oh, okay. They don't have your phone number yet, David.
Hey, listen, Dick didn't offer us a ride earlier.
Yeah,
he's giving it to the young guys.
Yeah, I'm offering you rides.
Well, here's the thing I want to offer to you right now. We need to get your website's information out there. We need to know what's going on this weekend. I mean, we need to let people know what's going on at your track this weekend.
Yeah,
so,
it's www.northfloridaspeedway.com.
Okay.
You know how to spell that, Jason?
I'm looking at it.
Do you spell out Florida? Do you spell out Florida, or is it FLA?
Yeah, it's spell out Florida. Okay. Speedway.com. And then this weekend, we got the, believe it or not, we've got the B Modifieds running this weekend. We got the street stocks, pure stocks, hobby stocks, and late models for your entertainment.
Sounds like a great show you have this weekend. Well,
it's going to be good. And then the following weekend, the 21st, will be the fifth installment of the Brown Motorsports Summer Spectacular. So,
named after you.
No. Named after my grandfather.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's named after you, though. You're a Brown. Yeah. You fall in there.
And then we'll have to pencil in there the grudge race between the two
big heads.
Idiots.
Whatever you want to call it.
Inside Florida Racing.
The two mouths. The two mouths. Yeah.
The Inside Florida Racing heads up, winner take all.
Grudge race.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it, man. I'm ready. I'm ready.
We'll start.
Say goodnight, boys.
Hey, thanks for calling us. Or did we call you?
Well, listen, guys, it's a pleasure as always. Appreciate your help and support. And Carol's got my number. You guys want to set it up, we'll make it happen.
All right.
Awesome. Yes, we will. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, David. Really appreciate you helping us out tonight. Have a great one.
Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Jason's all set up. He's ready to race,
Rob,
man. He just ran out, put his helmet on. He's ready to go.
Now, Carol. Carol,
now what?
You asked, oh, you guys are actually going to do this.
What is
my family's last name? How long have you seen them race?
Oh, he's getting mad. Is he getting mad?
He's serious.
Freaking out.
Something.
Listen, Tony. I want to tell you something.
I think all the race fans out there, particularly the people who pay attention to the Florida Stock Car Racing message board, need to know something. When that man was giving out what they were having coming up, and he mentioned the Powder Puff Derbies. Carol was sitting here making funny little gestures with her fingernails, okay? Like she's making fun of those people who go out there and put on the.
So she needs to do it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Ding, ding, ding. And how in the hell do you think I'm going to get in and out of that window without the jaws of life?
No, you can.
Come on, with that teenage girlish figure.
I was not making fun of women. Jack is going to pay for this.
If he's listening, I'm sorry to draw attention to it, but perfect example. You can race in a race car. Anybody can race in a race car. Buddy Suggs.
Is he
a big boy.
We used to race against Buddy.
He's a big boy.
Bubba the Love Sponge getting in the sprint.
Listen, when he had a late model, they had a little door on the side of the late model that he got into.
Why didn't you say all this crap to Mr. Anderson when he was on? Why didn't you tell him about that?
About what?
You didn't have the nerve,
does
did
he
you?
Have a door?
You're the one that was talking about women,
but you couldn't pick on Dickie, could you?
I told Dick that I'll go on a diet with him because I'm fat as the next guy.
And you're both full of it.
Oh, this? Yes.
What's coming up?
We got a lot coming up.
Look at all those clickable things on CarNet.
Oh, I know. Why don't we do that after we come back? You want to do that? Do it now? Okay, well, we'll do
right
it now.
Right now.
Coming up this weekend, don't want to miss it, East Bay Speedway. Going to have the limited sprints, the open wheel modifieds, the super stocks, and the Outlaw 4s and the Bombers. Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Wayne Anderson's going to be down there. The Super Lates are coming back to the Charlotte County.
So is Bonehead.
Bonehead's going to be there in his number 27. Road Warriors, Fab Force, Thunder Trucks, Sportsmen, TQ Midgets, Dwarf Cars. Big lineup for Saturday night at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park. North Florida Speedway, just talked to David up there. Going to have the Claimer Mods, the Pure Stocks, Hobby Stocks, Street Stocks, Late Models. And also, don't miss out, Citrus County Speedway. Going to have the Super Late Models July 14th. The Sportsman, Mini, Street Stocks, Pure Stocks, and much, much more. And out at the Hendry County Speedway, they just had a big weekend. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. Racing Saturday night there.
Hold on.
What's up?
What's next, Carol?
Well, I'll tell you,
I want the whole world to know I hate this.
This is supposed
man.
To be a group effort.
Jason, on Friday the 13th, Orlando Speed World, Friday the 13th,
ooh.
Fan races, enduro. Oh,
ooh.
My God.
Fan races.
I love fan races.
And the maniacs are going to go, the regular Friday night maniacs are going to be out there. Double points. Friday the 13th.
So what? They got a big night up there. That's going to be fun.
What's
Friday
going on at Charlotte County Speedway this week?
Stop. You're racing and everybody knows it.
No.
The wow. extreme.
No, it's the first time in many, many years that super late models have raced at Charlotte County Speedway.
Since the early 90s.
Yeah. Well, not early. No. Because I raced there in 98.
No. In 2000, and I'll forget the name. You'll have to go into Karnak, type in the Triple Crown, and you can find it. Rick Angies and I got with Don Nerone when the Lawyers were running the place, and we helped organize the Triple Crown down there. At was this 2002, somewhere around in there.
Okay, yeah. So it would be the first time back
at
to the Charlotte County
five,
Motors.
Let's say 5 years.
At least 5 years.
We'll throw it out there.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 years.
And there's no inside wall this time.
New Smyrna.
No.
New Smyrna Speedway. Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Late model 50.
It's double points night.
You had to wait for it to click. So you
yeah,
can
I, did.
There.
I did.
You know, something that we need to talk about.
Oh,
when we
Friday
come back.
Night. Friday night. Ocala, too, is racing on Friday night. School bus races again.
What about Auburndale? What are they doing? Are they doing anything?
Yes.
Did they get it opened up?
Yes, Auburndale has. What do they have? We'll have to find out what they have to do. I don't have that right
now. They open and close so quick?
No, no, no. They're doing it, man. They're doing it.
We got to keep the tracks open.
As a matter of fact, they have a meeting this Saturday for anybody who's interested in trucks need to get to the Speedway. I think it's early in the morning.
Small trucks, full-size trucks.
Race trucks, man. They're looking to straighten out the truck deal and get
you talking more. About Randy Kyle trucks? Those are the kind of trucks I like.
Trucks, man.
Jeff Thurman trucks, those are the kind of trucks I like.
Here's something everybody needs to mark down on their calendar. USA International Speedway up in Lakeland, Saturday, August 4th. Guaranteed Concrete Triple Crown. This is going to be race number 2 for the Fast Car Super Late Model. It's going to be a big, big show. The Bright House 200, the Catch 47.
Bring a big, big motor with you.
You definitely need it there. Hey, a little bit ago I was talking about how, man, I became a dirt track race fan again. I mean, growing up as a little kid, my dad ran dirt track years and years and years ago. But I got to give a big hand to Ken Kenny Jr. and what he did out at the Hendry County Speedway this past weekend. He got rained out on Saturday night, had like 2 feet of clay washed off the track into the infield. The old track started coming through. They worked throughout the night to get all the clay back up on the track. They started racing about 12:30 on Sunday. The old track started showing through. I mean, they had a lot to deal with, had almost 200-plus cars out there to race at that little track out there in the middle of the swamp at Hendry County Speedway, and it was one heck of a show. I left out of there with a smile on my face and orange glaze on my teeth. I mean, it was fun.
Did you have clay all over you, too?
I had clay all over me. I had clay all over the car. I mean, you know, my kids are still cleaning it out of their ears.
Boy, so that's a problem that an asphalt track owner doesn't seem to worry about. The
no.
track ending up in the middle. Let's go bring the track back out.
I tell you what, Danny Snow and Kenny and all the boys out there really worked hard trying to get that track back together, and they did the best they could. I mean, they still had 3 feet of clay down in the center of the track that's going to have to be brought back up.
Danny Snow,
he is the maintenance guy out there. He comes up and coming to Charlotte County Motorsports Park for a long time, familiar face, and all around pretty good friend to all the racers around. He loves racing, and he tries to get involved any chance he gets in it, and he's a good old boy. If Danny, if you're listening, had a good time this weekend, my friend Kenny, once again, putting on one heck of a show and happened to deal what you had to deal with, kudos to you. I mean, you really went above and beyond. I mean, you know, because you can't, Mother Nature is, yeah.
Well, it's tough with Mother Nature track, too. You know, it's bad enough when the rain comes and you can dry your track off, but when the rain comes and your track's sitting in the middle, you got to pick it up and spread it back out. It tends to be a little bit of a different kind of force.
Yeah, plus they were all running on fumes. I was talking to Danny. They were out there till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning trying to get that track back. And, you know, they were bringing it back up on the track, and it was just kind of sliding back down and everything else. It was just so wet out in the middle. But they got about 3 grooves of racing put together. They had a pretty good-sized dip that opened up in turn number 2. But the drivers dealt with it. It was some pretty – I tell you what, It was some pretty amazing driving. They did some stuff. I mean, you had a couple guys getting crossed up, coming across the 3 feet of mud down there, looking like a mud bog truck or something going through there. It was a lot of fun, especially for a Sunday afternoon. For a Sunday afternoon, it was a lot of fun. And Rob, have you ever done any dirt track racing?
No, just on go-karts, never in a car. Back in the day when I raced karts, you know, we used to go do that. And I've never done it in a car, you know, as much as I've wanted to. I think if I ever wanted to drive something on the dirt, I think it would be a sprint car. I think a sprint car would just be like the thing.
Well,
you know,
I think me and you are going to get our chance to do the North Florida Speedway thing. I think that
in a sprint car, I don't think. But
in a sprint car.
It sounds good in a modified, though. Modified sounds good. Or I wouldn't care what it was.
I wouldn't care what it was.
Nothing with a four-cylinder. I got to have something with a V8.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to kick your ass.
That's fine. I'm a seasoned loser.
You know, it's funny. You don't you weren't down around this area when my family was racing, and I've already told you it was pretty cool because you run the number 27 on your car. My family for years ran 27 down here at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and it was pretty cool seeing another 27 out in the track. What's going on over there, guys? Right. I heard you conversing with one another. You're over there.
This one of your family members, Jack?
Oh, hold on. See, now we're trying to get a hold of Casey Smith, and we keep getting a machine, so I figured I'll call some Smith.
You just ran to the phone book and found a Smith?
Called Jane Smith.
We got a very special Smith.
This is a very important Smith, because when I started this whole crazy thing, Karnak, and got crazy about all this 10 years ago, this person here, Jane Smith, was the person more than anybody else in the very beginning. Then there came Rick Angies and some other folks. But in the very beginning, Jane Smith, she wrote hundreds of stories and stuff. And now her boy is racing. And Carol has some questions. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane. So good to hear you on the show. I promised that I would not bring up anything personal about you, so I want you to tell us all about your boy and all the struggles that he's had and how he got where he is now, what he's doing.
Mr. Alex is now racing Strictly Stock with the help of a lot of people at Orlando Speed World who gave him cars.
How old is Alex now?
He is 14 going on 30.
14 going on 30. Aren't they all at that age?
How does mom feel about him racing?
Actually, the little stinker can drive.
Yeah.
So mom is not that upset. I just can't watch him when he's in a field of 26 cars. It's hard for me to watch him.
Why is that?
Because he always starts at the rear and he works his way up. And I can watch three laps, and then I got to go sit down.
Are you making sure he's not cheating?
Oh, he does not cheat.
Okay, good.
He does not cheat, but he can. The little stinker can drive.
Who was his mentor? Who sort of helped him along?
Actually, Action Gator Tire, one of the sponsors at the track, has gotten him tires. One of the record drivers gave him his first car. Petey Allison, who drives the mini stock, he recently bought him a car. And then, again, Action Gator Tire gave him another car, and now they're getting him yet another car. So there's a lot of people that help Alex, because I can't do it. I'm in the pit office. So I depend on a lot of people there to help him with his car, because he does work on his own car, but he cannot do everything by himself.
I have to disagree a little bit, because I think you've done so, so much for Alex.
How old is Alex now?
He's 14. He will be 15 in November.
Yeah,
God,
he was just a
seems
little...
like he was just five.
Was.
Right, but remember
just 9 years
that
ago.
Junior stock class, and he started out in that junior stock class 2 years ago.
He got girlfriends yet?
Lord, yes. Every other day.
Every other day.
He switches every other day. But, yes, he also likes girls. We do every now and then take his girlfriend to the track also so they can see him race.
They're all making fun of him saying he's got to ditch the girlfriend because they can't race if they got girlfriends.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jane, you sure have done a lot for racing in our state. This stories after stories. I don't know where you find the time or the energy to do everything you do.
Sometimes I'm not sure either, Carol.
Well, you're pretty well known for somebody that nobody ever sees or talks to. Everybody knows who you are.
Yep. Well, like Jack said, I've been around for 10 years on Karnak.
Yes, ma'am, and I've been there almost right behind you.
That's right. And I still think we need to publish your like couple of hundred stories, articles you wrote in the beginning. I still think we need to put them in a book.
Put them in one book and make you some big bucks.
Yep, that's true. That would be nice.
Speaking of books, you got somebody famous in your family.
Oh, yes.
I got every one of his books.
Oh, cool.
And the DVD.
And the DVD. That's right, I do.
There's a DVD?
Yep.
Tell everybody quickly what your dad writes about. Oh, my son said his book was the best book he has ever read in his life.
Which, The Land Remembered?
Yes.
Well, that is still the number one book in the state of Florida.
And I'll tell you, too, that the video, what's the name of that video?
Oh, Lord, Jack, you would ask me.
Well, I have a copy just out right out here. Listen, that video, it's...
My brother made it.
It's an awesome video about Florida. I mean, just... I think it's called a place.
Patrick Smith, Florida.
Yeah, it's Patrick Smith, Florida, and he talks about like a place, you know, a place you call home and stuff. And
right.
It's just a really, really cool video. I pass that thing around to all kinds of people.
Actually, Rick is still winning awards with that video.
Yeah,
it's won quite a few.
Yeah, it's really gives a great overview of Florida and the history of Florida and. And I brag about I know the guy who did that, you know.
Rick has an idea of making another one. He will be here probably in November.
That's cool.
But he has an idea of doing another one to go along with that one.
Well, tell everybody the name of the book and your father's name and where we can get it. And
PatrickSmithOnline.com. Go there. All the books, the DVD is there.
Some of the best historical novels about Florida that I think
anybody could read.
One story about Mississippi, yeah. Where Daddy was born and raised.
So what's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you in your racing career?
She had beer thrown on her at Daytona.
No way. At Jane?
Now
her
what?
Son started racing.
We're answering the question
for her. Would you mind if you let my guest... Please answer.
I'm sorry, Jane. My mother-in-law says hi.
Robin says hello.
Yes.
But you got to remember, Carol, my daughter also raced.
That's right, too.
Yes.
So that's where the other Ulcers came in.
Yes.
I bet that was really hard for you to watch.
And Alex races. My other son did not care about racing at all.
But your other son was... We have a lot to be thankful to your other son for.
Oh, yeah, and I just got my son-in-law back from Afghanistan.
Yes, and we want to thank them for everything they've done for us, too.
Yep, he was there 16 months.
You've given a lot to us, Jane, and we didn't want to leave you out, and I hope we didn't embarrass you, and I hope we kept all our promises.
You did.
Good.
All right.
So we can count on you again sometime?
Yes.
Good. Right, we'll keep Jane. Alex close by, and we'll talk to him, too.
Okay.
Thanks, you.
Jane.
Have
Thank you so
night.
Much.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Before
Jane Smith, and I'm going to tell you what. She writes, you know, of course she writes these days, and she does a lot of, you know, she writes articles for Karnak occasionally. She does a lot of media for Fast Car. But I wish she didn't do any of that. I wish she would go back and do, I wish she had the time and just could go back and write the stuff that she used to. Because in all the time I've been doing this, I've never run across anybody who wrote those kind of little pieces. Robin, and of course Robin didn't have as much time to devote to it, but she also, those two together have a tremendous amount of stuff that they wrote on Karnak that's just really cool,
yep.
From the heart little kind of articles.
Writing is not as easy as it seems.
Oh, no.
Oh boy.
To write stuff that's interesting for people.
It's
to
hard.
Keep people's
it's
interest.
Hard.
You got to grab them in the first couple pages or you lose them.
That's it.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm going to beat Rob to the punch. I am not a Jeff Gordon fan.
Well, if you look on the Karnak message board, he's standing
relevant.
Under a rainbow. Okay,
you're not a Jeff Gordon fan, but I don't think you're gay. You got kids.
Hey, guess
nothing
what?
Nothing wrong with being gay, though. If you are, that's fine. If you're listening out there and you're gay,
that
it's okay.
Sounds like the show. What was that crazy comedy show? Oh, never mind.
Laurel and Hardy? I don't know.
No. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Exactly. That one.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No soup for you.
Soup Nazi. That one too. That's what we're going to start calling Little Vic. We'll call him the, call Little Vic the peanut Nazi.
Next week.
The peanut Nazi.
Peanut Nazi.
Next week.
Peanut Nazi.
Don Nerone.
Right and here. Sandy.
He's the promoter Nazi.
He is the promoter.
He is the self-proclaimed king of late model promotion. And don't worry, Don, if you're listening out there, I won't make it.
And
too
it's going
to
be all call-in.
They're going to be live?
Yeah, live he's coming here.
They're coming
the
here live.
On the 8th floor of the Karnak Tower.
That's right.
I don't know. We might have the next few stories built. We could be on the 10th floor.
Yeah. Yes, we could. We could, but we probably won't.
And they'll
if I know Don, he'll put us through the roof.
They'll hang me from up top on the
all
antenna.
All call in all night long.
Oh, that'd be great.
This is your chance to ask Don anything you want
to
ask.
And he'll have
we
to
will
talk
get the
to
number
we'll
out early on the message board.
That's right.
So everybody
all week long, you're going to hear about it.
Should be pretty interesting. Who's trying to call?
Wow, what is that? Okay, oh, so it, we had
on a, can we say something on a serious note
yes.
for a minute, please?
Yes,
sure.
Patrick Williams and his mother lost their dear Cecil Williams, and we would like to express our deepest condolences to the family. I don't know what else to say. Just we're really sorry to hear of your loss.
Tough stuff, man.
Yep, Cecil was a good man, no doubt.
Well, everybody that's written anything him on the board today has been nothing but wonderful things. So
yes, I met him when up in Lake City, Columbia Motorsports Park, up there when I used to race with Bert Ashman up there. Patrick Williams used to race a lot there at Ocala and over there in Citrus.
Sorry to end the show on a somber note. Our thoughts and prayers are with them. And once again, next week right here, Monday night, don't forget, tune in to Inside Florida Racing. We're going to have Don Nerone right here with us live in the studio. Going to be all call in, so be ready for it. Keep your eye on the message board. We'll have the phone number out there, and we'll catch you next Monday right here on Inside Florida Racing.
If you're in Charlotte County, make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, Tuesday, 11:05, 1580 a.m. Listen to the house doctor, me, talking about construction. All right.
Selfless plug. Selfless.
Good night, everybody. Thank you
giveaway two
for putting up with us.
Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
I like destruction. Is that like construction?
A little demo.
Close the gate.
Hey,
Charlie.
Jack, press the button.
Hey, I had a good time. Does it matter?
No.
Hey, listen to this. In some hole in the wall, I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Thank you.
jive in the cave when you're doing the St. Pete boogie. Don't be contemplating crime when you're doing the St. Pete boogie. Don't be contemplating crime, 'cause you'll wind up in the can, man, and you'll end up doing time. Just be doing the same.